Well, you're taking part in an event that is now 6 years old. And I remember talking to conductor Barry Ross the first year, and he at the time believed this was a one-time concert to help increase funds for the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony Orchestra. And here we are 6 years on and many Beethoven symphonies later. I was wondering about your acquaintance with Dr. Ross and how you two became connected in the first place.
Well, actually, it was through my wife, Delana. They've had an acquaintance for quite some years. I know that they have a mutual admiration society going. Barry, of course, is a wonderful teacher, pedagogue, and Barry has admired Delana's playing and teaching for quite a while, and I think she has done some master classes for him at in Kalamazoo. So he had asked her last year to play the Beethoven concerto, and I think we put the bug in his ear to consider doing the Brahms this year. And so we were thrilled to do this because we haven't ever performed the Brahms double concerto together. We've been together about 31 years and haven't bitten the bullet, and now it's time and we're just thrilled.
Wow, so this really is a special occasion for you as partners in music and in life.
It is a very special occasion. We've played some chamber music together, but not a huge amount. Most of Delana's performing is as a soloist with orchestras or in recital, and so she hasn't specialized very much in chamber music. But of course, this is superannuated chamber music. This is on a much larger scale, and the writing for the two instruments together is very concerto-like, very soloist-like. So it fits very well in many ways for both of us.
Well, I have to ask because you're probably better known, much better known as a conductor, leading many different orchestras around the country. And how often does your cello get the time it needs from you to be out there as a soloist?
Well, I thought that I had performed my last concerto with orchestra when I was about 38. And I would say for about 10 years, I really did very little with it as a soloist. But I've kept up with my practice, playing for educational programs or for board meetings or, you know, fundraising events. But I love playing. It keeps me honest. I spend all my life telling other people what to do. And I sort of feel that it's only right that I should be able to do it myself. And then a couple of years ago, a friend of mine told me that he was writing a concerto for somebody, a wonderful Russian cellist. And I said, well, I would love to do the American premiere. So I took that on, and last year ended up actually doing the premiere because the festival had told us that it was going to be premiered in England. Subsequently, it's been recorded by the Russian cellist, and it's going to be released in the new year in England. But I was able to perform it a couple of times about a year ago in California and then in Grand Rapids. And I had so much fun performing again with my relatively new cello. Delana and I play both on instruments by Samuel Zygmuntowicz, who is a master maker in Brooklyn. And Delana actually has a few instruments of his, and I have a cello that was made. It was delivered the same year that our adopted daughter was delivered, 13 years ago, actually. So it's a pretty new instrument. They're all rather new instruments, but they make a wonderful pair. And we've really been enjoying finding how we can make these instruments resonate together as we've been preparing the Brahms concerto. It's been really a great adventure.
It's a bit of a side note, but this allows you to be advocates for new makers, rather than the eternal struggle to find these ancient instruments and that come for such high prices.
Yeah. Well, Delana grew up playing on fine Italian instruments and never imagined that she'd be playing on modern instruments. And she spent years adjudicating the tone quality of modern instrument maker festival competition. And over the years, Sam's instrument just rose above everybody else's, and finally it came time for her we bought an instrument that was owned by a friend of ours, and then she commissioned one, and has since actually commissioned a couple more. So it's been a really great relationship. It feels like a very potent and powerful relationship between Delana and Sam, and they sort of feed off of each other. Sam hears her play and then wants to make adjustments, and she makes suggestions for him, and he incorporates those, and he develops his craft too. So it's a really fabulous symbiotic relationship between maker and performer.
Now, the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony is 75 years old this year, and it ranks as one of the oldest in the United States. I'm presuming that youth orchestras as a model and as a concept are something you greatly support. Were you ever involved in a youth orchestra when you were a young cellist?
I had a lot of experience in youth orchestras. The first one that I played in was actually started and conducted by my father when I was 10 or 11. And subsequently, I played in county youth orchestras in England, and then I was principal cellist of the National Youth Orchestra in Great Britain for a couple of years. And then I learned a lot of my craft as a conductor, directing the Denver Young Artists Orchestra, which was a really fine youth orchestra in Denver. I lived there for 11 years, and for maybe six or seven of those years, directed the youth orchestra. Went on tour with them, and you really developed an ability to pull everything apart and put it back together again and create a flexible ensemble. And I benefited, and they benefited. It's been really terrific working with young people and you know, creating events that are so much greater in most cases than the sum of the parts. And I think they become very inspirational events for everybody.
If I may ask you about the Brahms, he's certainly known for writing concertos that are on the lengthy side, but this one's a fairly manageable 30 minutes.
That's right. Although the first movement is really very substantial. I think that's true perhaps of a lot of Brahms' first movements of concertos. But it's tempting to say, well, it's got sort of concerto grosso elements in it. I'm not sure that's entirely true. I mean, he obviously uses the instruments as individual voices and as complementary instruments, and also at times as a single instrument, a sort of a double string instrument, as it were. The writing is really varied. The slow movement, for example, has us play in octaves, almost like an air on a G string, certainly for the violin. I'm not sure I'm going to do all of my work on the G string because it gets a little hairy at times. But we play in unison this lovely melody and then split apart to play the violin with the winds and the cello to sort of do an answering, almost recitative-like style. The last movement, we sort of break into almost French impressionistic filigree kind of writing. And then the first movement is just a grand epic kind of style of writing where we play off of each other and play against the orchestra and then the orchestra answers. And of course, the great innovation is the very beginning of the concerto. It starts with a cadenza. It starts with a cello cadenza that goes into a double cadenza with a violin. So the instruments are introduced after just a bold statement from the orchestra, and then this long journey begins. I think the first movement couldn't be a short movement, given the length of that opening cadenza, and he certainly delivered. It's a really wonderful, dramatic piece.
Well, Brahms, I believe, had himself in mind when he was writing piano concertos, himself as soloist. Who did he have in mind for the double concerto for violin and cello?
Well, it's rather interesting. Both Brahms and Dvořák, neither of them particularly believed in the cello as a solo instrument.
Right.
you know, it was. I grew up playing on gut strings with wound gut strings on the lower two strings, the G and the C, but the upper string, playing on a gut string, trying to project it over an orchestra. Sometimes up high, it can sound a little whiny. You know, the middle register is really lovely, and the low can sound a little grumbly. But I think certainly the cello has come into its own in the 20th century as a fabulous solo instrument. But Brahms believed in it enough to pair with Joachim. His friend Hausmann played the cello in the opening first performance, and Joachim played the premiere. And it was really written as a gesture of friendship, a reconciliation for Joachim, who had been a lifelong friend of Brahms, but they had sort of separated somewhat over Joachim's divorce. Brahms felt that Joachim's wife Amelia had been poorly treated by Joachim, and so he sided with Amelia, and so their friendship cooled. But this piece was written as a sort of a peace offering. Things were never quite the same even after this performance, however. It's hard when you go through a difficult break in a friendship to bring it back to exactly where it was. But the concerto, I think, has had pretty good success over the years. It's not played a great deal. It's obviously not as much as the piano concertos. But I find it both dramatic and charming. I think it's a really great vehicle for a couple of fine players with well-matched instruments.
I think there are many ways to justify having a Brahms concerto on a Beethoven Fest concert. I just wondered what some of the first things that come to mind for you might be.
Well, we know that Brahms felt that he had this bugaboo about composing his first symphony because people were going to be comparing him to Beethoven. And he had a bust of Beethoven in his very modest apartment in Vienna and felt that Beethoven was always looking over his shoulder. You know, he said he would write a note in the morning and then erase it in the afternoon. He was very, very careful about his reputation on every level, including the letters that were published, the kind of impression that he was really kind of one of the first self-styled PR people, perhaps after Berlioz, who let it all hang out. Brahms didn't let it hang out. He controlled every piece of information, every note. And certainly his first symphony, you know, was sort of dubbed Beethoven's 10th. It was a great success, but he put off completing it for, you know, 15, 20 years almost. So there's that lovely connection with Beethoven there. Then also Joachim was famous for having not premiered, but reintroducing Beethoven's violin concerto to the public in just before the middle of the 19th century, when Joachim was only not even a teenager. I think maybe he was 11 or 12. So there's a very nice connection between Joachim and Beethoven. So I think it makes sense to do this. You know, there's sort of a heroism about the Brahms double concerto, certainly the first movement, and there's the heroic quality of the third symphony that Barry's going to be conducting, the Eroica, which is, of course, dedicated and then not dedicated and then rededicated to Napoleon, who Beethoven was very enamored with. You know, his social program fit very much for a while with Beethoven until he announced that he was going to declare himself emperor. So there's a very nice fit, I think, on many levels between these two pieces. And I think just as you have Handel festivals that include Haydn and vice versa, and Bach festivals that include many other influences and composers, I think this makes sense to have Brahms and Beethoven paired in this way.
Well, on a trip to Germany this last summer, I went to Bonn and saw the Beethoven house, and you walk through his these tiny rooms where the family lived and go through his life. You see some of his early instruments, and you see his hearing trumpets as his hearing failed, and you go through right through the end of his life and end up in a small sort of chamber music hall for people to have music. And that's where you discover that the house in Bonn itself was saved and preserved by a society that Brahms and Joachim put together. It wouldn't be there otherwise if it weren't for Brahms.
Fantastic. I didn't realize that. That's wonderful.
It was Brahms and some other pals, but it was very affecting that, you know, two of my favorite composers were connected like that. Well, I hope we do get to talk again soon for any reason. It's nice to have you here in Kalamazoo and being part of Beethoven Fest. And I hope Barry returns the favor up in Grand Rapids.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on. And I think this is going to be a wonderful event. It's a lovely way to have a little culture in your life between Christmas and New Year's.
Very true. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, Karen.